First half, not so bad. 20-10, you're going in. Seems like the game's in control. 12-minute break, and the next thing you know, it's a whole flip role reversal in the second half. Matt, start with you. 23-0, they get outscored by Miami in the second half. What was problematic for you? Let's go 1-3.
1-3, like number them? Things that were bad. Yeah. Well, you just
what
did
was the
offense,
most
defense, special teams. We do kind of keep like
then
that.
Let's stick on offense. What was the, what was the worst thing
it
offense?
Was obviously protection. I think they had some issues, obviously, with sort of the revolving door with A, who was in there, and B, once they were in, technique. You know, Coach Belichick addressed this point in the week here, and we've gotten a chance now to go back and watch the film. There were less instances of they ran a blitz that we couldn't pick up, or they mentally somehow challenged us, and many more where a guy just got beat. And not just a little bit beat, but beat badly, and in ways that we haven't seen these guys get beat in the past.
Wiggy, when you look at the defensive line, you know, there's been a lot of talk this week that why is this team coming in Miami with a 3-4 front where you're pushing Chandler Jones down inside? He seems like he's an athletic guy. You want to stand him up scheme-wise. Or you think they're going to switch things up?
I think so. That was the one thing that it kind of disappointed me a little bit is their run defense, you know. But then when you start to see some of the things that you do schematically, where you're putting guys, certain guys are better suited in other positions. Chandler Jones, I see him more as an outside defensive end, outside of that offensive tackle, or standing up as an outside linebacker, kind of Willie McGinnis's old position.
That elephant position.
Yeah, that elephant position. He's a good enough athlete he can do. But once you start throwing him down inside, now he's in a position where they can double team him with the tackle and tight end because he's in that Richard Seymour position where you need to be a big stout guy.
If you stand Chandler and you stand Ninkovich, generally speaking, you're only putting four in the rush. So one of those two guys is coming in, one's going out. So one of your two best pass rushers on any... Yeah, so you just go back to 4-3 and let those guys play in.
They have to go through.
Yeah, but understand what that does. When you keep him as a stand-up, you're pushing one of the three. You're either pushing Jamie Collins or Dante Hightower off the field. That's difficult. If you stay in a 4-3, Chandler's in, Ninkis in, and rushing each and every time, and your three linebackers get a play. I think that's their best configuration, and they'll probably migrate toward that.
Tom Brady, 2 of 18 with passes of over 15 yards or more. People are saying on sports radio and even on other shows that take place in the morning to play music that, just kidding.
That's all right.
They're saying he can't throw the deep ball. What's going on?
The people that say, well, he doesn't know how to throw the deep ball, he can't throw the deep ball. To me, those are people who don't understand, don't look at the game, seeing where does he have to fit into a certain window? Is it one of the sideline deep balls? It's just, I don't buy into it, Scott. That's the one thing I look at.
So here's what I look at. The deep ball is just such too big of an umbrella. It's too big of a term. There's a ton of throws.
It's not a high percentage. It's not a high percentage throw.
But you know that, Joe, that like you're going to throw the ball 40 yards in a lot of different ways. Sometimes a 40-yard fade is a 40-yard throw. Sometimes if you're dropped 12 yards deep into your drop and you're throwing a 25-yard in-cut, that's a 40-yard. It's nearly a 40-yard throw. So that's a quote-unquote deep ball that he throws exceptionally well. The balls he doesn't throw well in the last year or so, I shouldn't say that because that's going to make you think age. Historically, we'll put it that way. He hasn't been a great fade thrower. He really, other than the Randy Moss years. But that's one ball. That's not all deep balls. He throws a lot of good deep balls. The deep stuff, the Gronk, where it seams, that hit at 40, that are back shoulder. Those are exceptional quote-unquote deep balls. He hasn't been a great seven-cut thrower, which is a flag or whatever that you know from high school, or stuff outside the numbers.
Third quarter, I thought, was the worst period they played in a long
time. Yeah, and in the third quarter, they just got away from getting Edelman involved. You know, they were doing a lot of things with Edelman, especially on some of those jet sweeps, those reverses. You get away from him. I think he's a dynamic player where you can use him in your running game to create problems, and they did that in the first half. Then that might create some different looks for Ridley, and then you might be able to sprinkle Vereen in there. So to me, it's more about why they got away from their offensive game plan and calling in the first half and kind of switched it up in the second half.
I think that there was also a situation where I would be silly for me to fault trying to target Rob Gronkowski. He's the best tight end in football, but it was his first game back. And much like his first game back a year ago against the Jets, you know, I think it was 8 of 17. So 17 targets, so you're below 50%. This week it was 11 targets with only 5 receptions. So it makes sense to go to the guy, but whenever you're actually successful with it less than 50%, you need to think about distributing.
But even in the Jets game last year when he came back, I think that he and Tom were still in the same working vicinity.
Right.
There were a good 3 times where he and Brady weren't even on the same page.
Yeah, in the double double coverage a couple times. There were some situations. The one that went.
I think frustration at the end too. Tommy's trying to.
The one that went
his
feet. Yeah, that was late.
All right, we talked about this last week, guys. Concerns with the offensive line. What was the rotation going to be? How are they going to replace Logan Mankins? Do they pick five guys and just roll with it now?
I think that's got to be the move. That's my best guess. I would sense that there's a little bit of frustration. I mean, coach's point of view going into this was that it hadn't yet been determined. A lot of guys had played well. A lot of guys had earned the opportunity to be a part of it. But one of the issues you have, and when you're giving up sacks like that, right, when things start rolling downhill, usually what happens is you come over the sideline and they gather the guys together and they start sort of game plan how they're going to change it. Well, imagine if you're not the one that goes back out. You're not the one who's involved in the change. So then now a new error happens. And another thing that I think becomes very difficult is on a road situation like that, and it wasn't packed in this stadium, I thought they could have the opportunity to change up the snap count, which would have helped with all the guys flying off the line at them. But you can't do that if it's a new guy.
The last thing, the guys up front. Well, that's the thing. You got to be able to hold your water.
Well, and imagine if you've just been sitting there for a while and you come out and you're getting it on three or something, or you know, or it's being snap count on one, or he's going quicker.
Usually
you change up snap count with a group that's steady and had been in
and
for
that's
a while.
And that's the toughest positional group where you can switch guys up, because now if you've been sitting on the sideline and you're going into the game, now you have to run over and talk to the other guy and say, okay, where did this guy line up? Was he outside shoulder? Was he inside shoulder?
How's he approaching you?
So that's the hottest position, because it's five guys that have to work together as a unit. It's a little bit easy to rotate a tight end in there or some other positions. The offensive line, I don't think you can rotate guys like that.
Why did they get more exotic, you know, with the secondary coverages? Why was there a lot of shell coverage? Like, you got a guy like Revis. I think everybody wanted to see 24 locked on like Mike Wallace moving around.
When we call exotic, you're generally talking about where you send a double or where you send help. Yeah. Where you want to bring it down strong, weak, to a certain receiver, all that kind of stuff. I thought that the things you might see going forward now is Miami is different than other teams, and that I know people talk about Mike Wallace with the contract. I don't think he was such a takeaway guy that you would have wanted to put Darrell in him. I think Darrell staying to one side of the field, which is generally what he did in the game, makes sense because they don't have one guy that's head and shoulders. Hartline is last year just as productive, if not more, than Mike. And then we've seen Charles Clay be really the guy that they focus on. So it just wasn't a week where they had a takeaway guy. We're going to take him and then we'll do a bunch of weird stuff with everyone else. It was more of a play it straight because they just had a bunch of goods and no grade.
All right, guys. Good stuff right there. Week one is in the books. Coming back with Patriots This Week continues our surprises and disappointments from week one. That's all next.